Welcome to Abound in Hope, a podcast from Imprint Church. Our goal is to help you see how the gospel of Jesus Christ intersects with our daily lives and compels us toward gratitude and generosity.
Hey, welcome to the Abound in Hope podcast. My name is Darren, and I'm sitting here between the two Toms.
Indeed, you are.
It's so good to hang out with these guys again this week. Man, we started talking about the will of God last week, and it got deep really fast, which was fun. Because last week we talked about kind of the sovereign secret will of God and kind of a big level of what he's planning for the universe and how that translates into our lives. We talked about the revealed will of God through the word, through scripture, and how that actually applies to even making some decisions and things like that. But we thought we'd get specific this week and talk about a little more individual. Yeah. I mean, I made fun of it last week,
right?
That we tend to
to ask that question because we all want to know, like, what does the Lord have for me?
Yep.
And there's different paradigms. And like many people would, life would be easier. I think about this. Life would be easier if God would just send a prophet to me and tell me what to do.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Or write it on the wall.
Yes.
Or cast the lots.
And or if I could have just walked with Jesus for 3 years, I wouldn't know exactly what to do.
Precisely. Yeah, probably not.
Totally.
Yeah.
Even though most of us have been walking with Jesus for longer than that.
And the disciples still got to the end of those 3.5 years and were like, not sure what I'm supposed to do. So anyway, back to this whole thing. We did want to explore a little bit with the minutes we have here to talk about what it means to think of the specific will of God for our lives personally. And so that's kind of our subject for the day. And again, this is a big topic, and we think we'll leave you with a lot of questions. And we'd love those questions to be sent to us at podcast@imprintchurch.org, because we can jump into this again in the future if you'd like us to, and to talk about some of these things. But I think I'll start out just by asking Tom Regan here a little bit on how we can know the specific will of God for our lives. What are some ways that we actually can think of knowing God's will for our lives? If a person came up and asked you pastorally, what am I supposed to do?
Yeah, the most important resource is going to be the Bible, surprise, surprise. But there's actually a number of scriptures that say, for this is the will of God for you. And I prioritize those. That's not going to be helpful for you in deciding for, let's say somebody just graduated from high school. It's not necessarily going to be helpful for you to hear me say, just go to the Bible and read for this is the will of God for you, because you might be deciding between taking a gap year or going to college. But I still think we can get to those, and we can talk about how you go about making specific decisions. But if you get these other big pieces in place, you've figured out 90% of your life.
Mm,
like,
totally.
If you understand 1 Timothy 2:4, God desires all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Are you a saved person? That's a starting point. If you want to know what God's will is. Now, so let me just rip through these quick, and you can interrupt me.
Yep.
Ephesians 5:17, therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit.
Good.
Understand what the will of the Lord is. Be filled with the Spirit. So His will for you is to be a Spirit-filled believer, someone who's saved, someone who's filled
with
the
Spirit. Good.
Right? 1 Thessalians 4:3, for this is the will of God, your sanctification.
Mm.
So He wants us to grow in likeness to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That is a massive piece of of your life and figuring things out. 1 Peter 2:13-15, be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to governors that are sent by him to punish those who do evil and praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Mm. So he wants us to be submissive.
I don't like that one. Sorry.
You don't know.
No,
we don't like the Americans
one.
Don't
Thanks.
Like that one. Right. And here's one we really don't like is suffering. 1 Peter 4:19.
This went from bad
Therefore,
to worse.
Let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful creator while doing good. So wait, are you saying God wills for
wills
us, desires
suffering.
For us to suffer in some. Yes.
Yeah.
We don't like that. It's really uncomfortable. But again, this is when I have to, speaking of being submissive, submit my moral logic
to
the word.
So thinking about to last week where we talked about meticulous providence, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
And then this, is it God's will that I stub my toe, skin my knee? Or what kind of suffering are we talking about here?
Good question. I think within the context of Peter, it's being willing to endure evil for the sake of your witness in Christ. That's how
when
I would
you're trusting your soul.
Yeah.
Like you're saying,
yes.
Like I'm willing to face anything. And maybe that's where it goes back to that whole idea of like, yes, God is in charge of all of the things that are out there where the wind blows, where the insects live or die or whatever it might be. But there is a sense that he that we are called to submit ourselves, entrust our soul to any kind of suffering that we're going to face. And it might not necessarily be suffering, might not be the stubbing your toe on your bed in the middle of the night. Ouch. Suffering may be a choice that we have to face because of our following of Jesus.
And that's the context of Peter. Although I do think that in 1 Peter, there's all kinds of trials. So I think it's more than just persecution. But I think when this specifically in the call, that is God's will to suffer, is specifically around the issue of suffering for your faith. It's not that God wants you to suffer endlessly or relentlessly. But this text, 1 Peter 4:19, says that sometimes Christians will suffer for their faith. That's the context. And this is according to God's will.
So would it be fair to say, like, God's will is that we suffer for our witness, that we suffer as his witnesses, but it's also his will that we endure suffering as faithful witnesses, whether that's because of the direct result of our witness, or it's just because we live in a messed up world where bad things like cancer.
And again, we have to be careful with where our moral logic goes, because you can then say, well, if it's God's will for me to suffer, he must think that evil against Christians is okay. No, he doesn't. That's when you say, in some sense, yes, it is his will for us to suffer for our faith. I mean, that's the calling of Paul. Can you imagine? Like, I must show him how much he must suffer for my name. Like, no thanks, I don't want that commission. You know what I mean? No thank you. But he says specifically, like, I'm choosing Paul, I'm sending him out, and I'm going to show him how much he has to suffer. I would tap out right then.
But,
you know what, like, really trips me out is the apostles' response to persecution, suffering, where they get whipped, and then they go out and rejoice
and that they were chosen as worthy of suffering. For the
worthy,
name, you know,
it's so intense. Yep. Which I mean, I kind of actually like that part, but then when it comes to the actual suffering, and then I think about, like, we're supposed to rejoice in the midst of suffering, not necessarily in the suffering, but in the midst of it, right?
Well, and you have to think that there are seasons as well. This is the other piece of it. Like, I think the logical question for me would be, like, if I'm not suffering right now, am I in the will of God then? You know, because I mean, you may say I have some suffering in my life right now, but I live a pretty easy East Side life right now, you know? And I have some, crisis and tension and things like that. And if I try to share my faith, I certainly feel ridicule or sadness that I'm not being responded to. But I think there are definitely seasons in life for every person. I mean, that's a reminder of the book of Ecclesiastes that tells us there's a time and season for many things in life. And so I think there are seasons of suffering and seasons where we may not suffer. And so if you're out there asking the question right now, man, I'm not suffering. Am I in the will of God? Yes, you can be, but I wouldn't expect it to always be like that. I think that there is a sense in Scripture that reminds us that we are going to face suffering and persecution for being followers of Christ.
On the flip side, if you're a jerk and you suffer because you're a jerk.
Right. That's and some people take that as
that's
persecution.
A different thing.
Like,
yeah.
No, you're not actually being persecuted. You're just a jerk and people don't like you.
Yeah, that's like my favorite thing about 1 Peter. If you're suffering for your own stupidity's sake, then it's on you. But
on you, yeah. Maybe last thing I would say in terms of ripping through some verses that say this is the will of God for you, 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So to be thankful, or in other words, satisfied, content with what God has given you. And when I take all these things into consideration, it seems to say that the Bible doesn't emphasize finding God's hidden will, but obeying God's revealed will.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
So that's what
tweetable,
I would,
by the way.
Yeah. The Bible doesn't emphasize finding God's hidden will, but obeying God's revealed will.
So you have the S's. Give us the S's one more time for the sake of...
And I ripped this off of a sermon years ago that wasn't mine, but I like the categories, and so this
I like
helpful.
The S's, yeah.
Saved, Spirit-filled, sanctified, submissive, suffering, and satisfied. So,
okay, so
I can't take any credit
for
that.
For it.
You sure?
Yeah.
What's amazing about this to me is, I think we complicate the idea of God's will because of the intensity of last week's podcast and how big it is and how confusing it is, how God's sovereignty works with evil in the world and all that kind of stuff. But what's amazing is in this, we find that God's will is not as confusing as we thought it was.
Right.
Like, Jesus has not come follow me, I'm going to make this super confusing for you, so you're never going to know how to follow me exactly. It's something different, where it's like we actually have a picture here of following God and his will for our life in these S words that you just gave us. And I think that's super helpful. What were you
saying? Yeah, I was going to say it's amazing to me because it's less about, and this is so anti-American, it's less about what we do and it's more about who we are.
Hmm. Right.
He's asking us to become the type of people that
the kind of
can partner
you
with him and rule the universe. And there's certainly some like revealed will stuff for all of the church, go and make disciples, you know,
right.
Like there's some like doing stuff, but the majority of what you just read is all about character.
Right.
Totally.
And I wonder though, maybe if the people are listening to this and they want to, okay, so what are you going to say now that you've said everything that's been written down?
Corolla.
Let me just emphasize that is that's the big piece. Like if you've got that stuff figured out, you've got 90% or more of your life figured out, and the rest is just details that God is going to make clear in time.
Yep.
So we can talk about seeking counsel, praying, God may intervene, God may close doors, but through it all, the Lord's going to make his will known. Like God is, mm-hmm. like what you just said, Darren, like God's not trying to make life hard for us. He does make us wait. That can be really frustrating. Yep. I've had friends who've waited on the Lord for a job. They don't know whether they should move, they should stay. There's some frustrating things, but I've just taken comfort in the fact that every time my life has taken a new direction or a new turn that I felt like the God was actually leading me, like I figured it out. I've never just been scratching my head for months on end, not having any clue what to do. And sometimes we can get paralysis by analysis. And God's like, just keep moving, keep seeking me. So let me just throw the question over to McGregor. Like, what's the role of wisdom in all this? Because sometimes we want the die. We want to cast the die, the lots.
Yeah.
We want the writing on the wall. I wish God would show up in a dream and speak to me and just tell me what to do. But that takes out a key component mm-hmm. of walking with Christ, which is the development of wisdom.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you think about Adam and Eve, and they're in the garden, and they're called to be priests and kings and queens and rule the created universe with God, and they're going to need wisdom for that. And he points to a tree that's called the tree of good and bad, not good and evil, good and bad, if you got your Hebrew right. And then you go into the wisdom literature, and it's all about knowing good and bad. What is good, which does have moral categories in it, mm-hmm. and bad, which does have moral categories, but also what will work and what won't work. And the sense from that first test is what kind of wisdom are humans going to choose? Mm-hmm. And so I think if we're going to rule the universe, which we are, we're going to need wisdom, and God like delights in the creativity of his creation. Mm. Just like you love your little boy's crayon drawings of the ostrich with no head, or, you know, your daughter's drawings of the car without wheel, you know, like,
So where do you, so obviously there's wisdom to be had in the scriptures, in the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Let's talk about wisdom in the context of the Christian community, Darren.
Yeah.
What would you say to the 18-year-old that's trying to decide whether to go gap year or go to the university next year? Like, what's the role of how do you find wisdom in that?
Yep. Let's bring this down to as practical as I can get here when we talk about kind of some of these things. Because, I mean, I love what Tom was just saying a minute ago about...
Which Tom, I need to know if it was me or if
you,
it was McGregor.
You,
oh, okay.
You're the man.
Yeah, perfect.
About, you know, obeying these things, like obeying the things that are here and following these things. So assuming that you're saved, assuming that you're spirit-filled, assuming that you're working on your sanctification, you're submitting to the Lord in all things, that you're willing to suffer, assuming that you have an element of satisfaction following Christ mm-hmm. in your life, assuming all of those things, I think if you're trying to decide some specific things about your life, that's where the Christian community can come in. We're mm-hmm. asking people around you what you're gifted at, what you what was good for them in their lives. Like if a student's thinking about going on a gap year, man, talk to people around
right.
you. Listen to your parents. You know, spend some time with a youth leader in your life to ask the good questions. And again, this is all assuming you have all right. of these things in your life that you're following as best you can, and you're willing to say, I'm not just trying to find God's will in my life, but you're actually obeying these revealed
things
that
things,
God
right.
has for you. Then you start to rely upon your own time in the Word, your time journaling and praying, your time in counsel with other people, and you're working through some of those things, because that actually can help you figure out the will of God
well, and
in
also
your life, you know?
Opportunity.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, that goes back to last week. If you really want to be like, I don't know, a pastor, and there are no opportunities and nobody's telling you from your community mm-hmm. that, man, I'm really blessed when you preach or whatever.
Yep.
Like, you got to start to ask some questions. And that's, you know, I mean, put that into, like, I want to be married.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
like, that's a good desire.
Right.
It is revealed by God that that is a good thing.
Yeah.
But if there is no opportunity, there's still the revealed will that 95% you can follow God's will for your life,
mm-hmm.
and
right.
be faithful in that,
right.
and satisfied in Him.
And right. as I kind of expressed last week, I didn't cut you out, did I?
No.
Oh, good. I think there's this idea that if you're not following an exact trajectory, that you're somehow falling off the will of God for your life.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to debunk that as much as possible,
right.
and say, man, God's will for you can be bigger than just
right.
a straight line from here to there. Can God lead you in that way? Absolutely. And there, I've met people in my life who said, I knew this was the next step for God for me to
right.
take.
Sometimes it feels very specific.
Sometimes
and there's a level of subjectivity,
specific.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, it is essentially subjective because the objective things are written down for us, that
yep.
which we just went through. And so
yep.
some of this is subjective. But you're saying there's a pretty wide path.
I think
and you don't
so.
Have to get paralyzed. I mean, and I think about 1 Corinthians 7, Paul writes this in verse 39, a wife is bound to her husband as long as he lives, but if her husband dies, she is free to be married to whom she wishes, only in the Lord. So
yes.
marry whoever you want, just so long as he's a believer,
yep.
right?
Yep.
So he doesn't give a detailed list, and this is where wisdom comes in. Well, hopefully, okay, so he's a believer. Has he been a believer for a week?
Mm-hmm.
Has he been a believer for 5 years? Hopefully you're going to want to marry somebody who's pretty grounded in their faith,
right?
And he's well thought of by outsiders. He's godly, you know what I mean?
Yep.
So that's where the application comes in, but there seems to be a whole lot of freedom. He doesn't say, woman who wants to be remarried, like fast for 5 days and,
yes.
and you know, throw the dice around.
Although
and,
that
yeah.
may be wisdom
right.
to like
yeah.
seek the Lord for
no, absolutely.
Days.
Yes. No.
But he doesn't
but
say
I'm
you
so
have
going.
To.
No, you don't have to. And
yeah.
I'm not against fasting. I in
yeah.
fact, I fasted this week. I
but there's not a formula.
You
you're saying there's not
I'm
a...
supposed to keep it secret.
You look
yeah,
so
totally.
Nice.
You look skinny
yeah.
today.
Yeah,
I was
going to
say
look skinny.
I meant to tell you that.
People are like, have you been fasting? Like, no, I'm just unhealthily skinny.
Okay, so Tom, let me ask you a question. So a famous verse that gets quilted on pillows and gets
yes.
thrown up on a refrigerator
yep.
is Psalm 37, verse 4, where it says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart.
Yep.
I want you to bring this scripture into how to find the will of God. Like, what does that mean?
Right.
Because in my mind, like, I'm really happy with the Lord. And I figure because of that, I should be like a really good golfer and rich and,
yeah.
you know, all of these things. Like, that's the desire of my heart, you
yep.
know, like, how does this work yep. for us, you know?
Yeah. And there's some question as to what does it mean that he gives you the desires of your heart? Does he give you the things you're asking for, or
does
he put into your heart those
yeah.
desires? And there's probably evidence for a little bit of both.
Yeah,
I mean,
word.
Certainly he does give us sometimes the things that we ask for, but I think an illustration would be in ministry. Like, if he gives you certain gifts and passions for ministry and he gives you the enjoyment of doing vocational ministry, then that's what he put in my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, Lord, I want to be in full-time vocational ministry if you'll let me do that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of that was just my desire.
Yep.
And this was, you know, a couple of years after he saved me in college, and this was not the plan that I had for my life, and God made his plan clear
mm-hmm.
for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, Lord, I have some other career opportunities in front of me and I just have zero desire
mm-hmm.
for those. And if you'll let me, I would love to be in vocational ministry for the rest of my life. And
mm-hmm.
he has made it possible for me to do that. And I think that's an example of how the
that's
Lord
great.
Both gave me the desire for vocational ministry and also gave me the open door
mm-hmm.
to be doing that, you know? And so
I love that idea that God places a desire in your mm-hmm. heart for something that is healthy and flourishing. And honestly, in that way, I mean, my joke, you know, being rich and being a good golfer doesn't lead to the shalom of society. It might lead to my shalom, but not to the peace of society. But what you just said is actually contributing to God's world and his work
yep.
in the world. And so I love the fact that God can place things like that within us
right.
to help us walk within his will. That's compelling to me and really helpful, you know. Like, what do you think, McGregor? Like, what do you, when you process this verse, like, you know, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desire of your heart. What do you think of when you think of that verse?
Yeah, I think of he'll put the right desires in my heart.
Yeah,
it's that thing, like cultivate the character of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, you become Christ-like,
mm-hmm.
which is the revealed will of God.
Which is why
life.
Some people say, and this could be totally misunderstood, so you got to be careful when I'm saying this, is like, love God and do what you want.
Yeah.
Yeah, that gets abused quite a bit.
It totally could, right? But
yeah.
but the idea is if you are seeking Christ and becoming like him, then if you follow those, and this is a Gary Brashears thing, you know, the deepest desires of your
mm-hmm.
heart is with a new covenant heart, the heart yeah. that he's given you, you can follow.
Yeah, new desires.
You can do what you desire.
Man, it bums me out so much when I hear people say, we're nothing, we're worthless, less of me and more of you, and all that kind of stuff. Because it indicates a
it's
misunderstanding.
A partial truth, is what it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, it's a partial truth. Mm-hmm. But
less of my selfish desires, maybe. You
maybe,
know?
Yeah, yeah. But like, actually, God wants to give you good desires, and he wants to see you follow them. Mm-hmm. And he's with you by his Spirit, guiding you in the context of a community that can also help you with that.
Yeah.
God has created good things. Right. He hasn't created ugly things. And yes, sin is ugly and ruins everything. But like, he's going to put those desires in your heart that that please him and bring him joy.
Yeah.
One last question, and I think we can wrap this up. But also, how do spiritual gifts and passions and things like that that get placed within our hearts supernaturally through the Holy Spirit, how do these play into the fact of God's revealed will for your life? Like, where do those fit in?
Yeah, I think that you have to, it's wise to make choices for vocation or the things that you choose to do and invest your time in life according to your wirings. Mm-hmm. I mean, sometimes we all have to do things in our jobs that we're not good at, but it was pretty clear early on that I wasn't going to play football. I mean, I'm built for badminton, as I like to say, you know.
That's a great t-shirt.
Yeah. So you have to think about, how has God made me? What am I uniquely gifted at? Mm-hmm. And then there's kind of a lane. There's some lanes that you can run in, right? But you can't run. This is why I don't like the American mantra. If you set your mind to anything, you can do it.
Yeah.
Like, there's some truth that you can accomplish a lot. Okay. I appreciate that. But yeah. But the people who tried out for American Idol who are tone deaf, like, they're not telling them that message. You just set your mind to it. I'm never going to bench 300 pounds. Just set my mind to it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. No, that's about contentment, not about athleticism.
Yeah,
so I think we have to say, how has God wired me? And I want to follow. And typically, some of those desires that he puts in your heart, they're going to be in line with how he's gifted you.
Yeah. Yeah,
and if he hasn't gifted you in a way, and you're tone deaf, and you want to be a singer, give it up and just go figure out what you're good at, and ask God for direction.
I mean, I think that goes back to last week also. The like, how much of your life do you really have free will over? Like, you were born into a particular family at a particular time in a particular country.
Way to wrap it up, Bryce McGregor. Yeah.
Dude, it's nuts. Like, there's so much I didn't choose, and I can't say I pulled myself up by my bootstraps
totally.
I created
it's always God's grace.
God has given, like, so much abundance to anybody that's alive in the West right now.
Yeah.
And then through his revealed will has told us, like, here's a wise way to do that pleases me and leads to the flourishing of society.
Yeah.
So I would say, if we're talking about the person who's really looking for a specific direction on things, is always have an open hand. You know, if the Lord wills, you know, it's James 4, if the Lord wills, and we'll go here and do that, this or that in this city, make a profit. But only if you say, if the Lord wills. So you're maintaining an open-handed posture and position toward God, where God can overrule my desires, and you're open to that. You're seeking to be Christ-like as possible. You're prioritizing Christian character, not just the what you're going to do, but who you are becoming. You are connected to Christian community, because it's in that you have the wisdom of the body being applied to your life and helping you. And then he makes his will known as you get counsel. And
that goes back to your sermon 2 weeks ago at this point, where you talked about the fear of the Lord as wonder and awe and awesomeness. And, you know, like, as you think about your life and the wisdom necessary to follow the will of the Lord, like, we do need the fear of the Lord.
Yeah. And so let's maybe wrap this up with where we started a couple weeks ago with Romans 12 again, because I think that ties a bow on this really nicely, where Paul appeals to the Christians to, by the mercies of God, present ourselves as living sacrifices to God, which is a spiritual worship, and not to be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and testing and discerning what the will of God is, what is good and acceptable and perfect. It's this reminder that God, though he is sovereign over all things, though he controls all things, all his omni words we talked about, and while he has an eternal will that's in purpose, there is also a will for us that's revealed very specifically that leads to worship, that leads to things that are good and acceptable and perfect in his eyes. And again, as we've talked about a couple times, for the flourishing of us and for the flourishing of all society. And so, finding the will of God is not as difficult as we may make it out to be.
He's going to work out the details in your life if you're concerned about the details. The thing that we don't like is waiting. We don't like not being in the know. And that's part of our sanctification is if you were in the know all the time for exactly all that God wanted to do to you, where would your faith be? You wouldn't be building trust. That's a great point. Just be going, oh, here's a blueprint in front of me. I don't need to trust in God for the next step. He's already laid it out for me, as opposed to God makes me wait 6 months to figure out if I'm going to get a job or not. That's hard, but he's going to make it known over time. And so we should just not freak out and just wait on him and trust in him.
So if you have questions or comments about God's will for your life, or just anything in general, please do email us at podcast@imprintchurch.org. Otherwise, we will see you next week. Thanks to Tom's. It was great to hang out with you guys.
You are welcome.
Today.
See ya.
Peace out.
Thanks for listening. For more information and resources from Imprint Church, you can download our app or head to imprintchurch.org.